141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. On the night the Scottish Premiership title race could officially come to a close, Rangers host Dundee, knowing anything less than a win will see Celtic crowned champions before they go to Kilmarnock tomorrow. Brendan Rodgers won't be watching though. He's tuning in to Spurs against Man City. Maybe he's forgotten Partick Thistle Wraith Rovers is on in the playoffs. And Nick Montgomery's been sacked by Hibs, who then appoint Malky Mackay as a sporting director. Just another quiet day in Scottish football in the company of Gordon DL and Hugh Keevans.
A night of complex emotions for the Rangers supporters at Ibrox, because Celtic are champions elect, but the Rangers fans have to go on believing in the existence of miracles until they get evidence to the contrary. They're 6 points behind Celtic. They are 7 goals worse off than Celtic, but all they can do is win tonight, reduce the deficit to 3 points, score as many goals as they possibly can, and hope that it has some effect, if any, on Celtic at Kilmarnock tomorrow. They're playing a Dundee side who appear to have clocked off for the season. They now have less points in the top six than three of the teams in the bottom six, including Hibs, who binned Nick Montgomery first thing this morning.
Yeah, incredible. Never a quiet day in Scottish football. Hibs manager away again. They've got a very knack of sacking managers, Hibs, so hopefully they'll get the next appointment right. Malky Mackay in there, sporting director, bit of experience, big job for him. But you're looking at Ibrox tonight, what kind of mood will the Rangers fans be in after the weekend? I think the Rangers players have really got to get up for it, because as much as I think everybody knows the title's away, in a week and a bit, they've got a Scottish Cup final against Celtic again, so they've got to try and, you know, keep that momentum going. And then you look down the league, what a game at Fir Hill tonight. It'll be packed out. Partick Thistle v Wraith Rovers. Terrific game ahead.
0141 951 1025. That is the number you need. So come on down. Let us know what's on your mind, particularly you Rangers fans. What's the mindset ahead of tonight, especially if you're going along to Ibrox? What are you expecting? Is this a chance to let the players and the management know how disappointed you are, or is it a chance to really rally behind, make sure they do whatever they can to prolong this title race and go into the cup final in a good mood? What are you thinking tonight? How do you approach this game? Take your thoughts on the team news as well, because Rangers have all sorts of injuries, 11 first team squad members out according to Philippe Clement. So what are you expecting tonight? Would you like to see other changes anyway? Would you like to see different players given a chance to try and finish this season on somewhat of a high? It would be a relative high, I think we would all agree there. And Celtic fans, what about your take on it all then? Because Brendan Rodgers isn't watching. He's more interested in what Ange Postecoglou is doing against Man City tonight. So he says today in his press conference, what are your feelings? Do you care about doing it yourself, wrapping it up tomorrow, getting over the line yourself, or do you just take any title win? Would you happily sit back and enjoy Dundee going and taking something from Ibrox tonight? Hibs fans, I'd love to hear from you, because as always, when one of the country's biggest clubs sacks its manager, that is a big deal. Is it the right call? Who do you want to see next? And what about Malky Mackay in a sporting director as well? And as if that's not enough, as Gordon DL quite rightly says, Fir Hill, so much riding on that game tonight. The playoffs, Partick Thistle against Wraith Rovers. If you're heading along there, we'd love to hear from you as well. 0141 951 1025. Let's try and go to Ibrox, because Gabriel is there. He's going to set the scene for us. Gabriel, how's it going?
Yes, Gordon. Well, it's not how Rangers envisaged their final league game panning out here at Ibrox. A dreary Wednesday night in Govan, where the best that the faithful here can hope for is only delaying the inevitable. Just 6 weeks ago, their title bid was well and truly alive, with games in hand, and most importantly, their destiny in their own hands as well. But a poor April and May led to just 3 wins in their last 8 league games. It's simply not title-winning form. They, of course, trail Celtic by 6 points, meaning only a victory this evening will stop Brendan Rodgers' side being crowned champions. That may not be much, but surely Philippe Clement's side will want to avoid the pain of officially handing the title to Celtic by a poor result on their own pitch. I spoke to the Belgian yesterday. He insisted his team have come a long way since his arrival last October, even though they've fallen short at the final hurdle in the league. He also said that injuries are a key factor in the six-point gap between the two great rivals. You can debate that all you like, but the facts are there. Rangers have 11 absentees this evening. Goldson, Balogun, Suter, Sterling, Lundstrom, Lawrence, Cortez, Simmer, Matondo, Danilo and the lesser-seen Bailey Rice all unavailable, either through injury or suspension. And Clement is anticipating a big rebuild here in the summer. These next few games are surely a chance to show who can contribute going forward. We might even see a few youngsters today with that big injury list. I'll bring you the team news when it does arrive. What about Dundee? Well, they, of course, had a big part in Rangers' collapse down the stretch, drawing 0-0 at the infamous game at Dens after several call-offs due to the pitch. Dundee have something to play for themselves. They're 5 points and 11 goals behind St Mirren and need a victory to keep the pressure on the Paisley side in the race for fifth and the final European spot. They've only picked up 1 point in seven matches against the Old Firm this season. What a night it would be to take all three. Of course, a fantastic achievement to finish in the top six upon their return to the top flight, but now they're winless in six games and want to finish on a high. I'll bring you their team news when it comes as well. Just a quick check of the match officials here. Gordon, the referee will be Matthew McDermott and the VAR will be Andrew Dallas.
0141 951 1025. What is the mindset tonight then, Rangers fans? How do you approach this one? And I guess similar to you Celtic fans, although are you wanting to see Celtic get over the line tomorrow, or you quite happily sit back and watch it happen tonight? Do let us know. Andy is on the line. You heading along tonight, Andy?
Yes, good evening, Gordon. Good evening, panel. Just outside Hamilton in the beautiful rain on the way up from Newcastle. So, taking my time.
Andy, that is commitment on a night like this, after the weekend, heading all the way up. So, how do you approach this one then? What's the feeling heading into it?
No commitment, it's stupidity. But,
you said it.
You can't see my tears through the rain. No, I think it's like a lot of Rangers fans. I'm not angry. It's more disappointment that somehow we clawed ourselves back into a title race through a really good period of football. I think a lot of that had to do with we finally had some wingers. When Cortez came in for that four or five games, we played really well. Our best football of the season, we had Ridvan at left back, we had Sterling in centre mid. Suddenly we started to look like the team Clement wanted us to be, and I don't think it's a coincidence. When Cortez went out of the team, Sima was about to come back, he stayed out injured, Matondo went back out injured, Ridvan went back out injured. You saw the performances drop off, which has kind of led to where we are and letting Celtic get away with one, basically, because we were a Dundee and a Ross County away from potentially doing something special this season. So I wanted to ask a question as well, though, if you want to come at that first, but I think in the summer we're going to bring in some players like Hestes, linked with us, the boy, the Brazilian boy. We've got the Panamanian boy, Cordoba, linked with us. Those deals look like they're going to happen. For me, I think we also need to shop locally and get rid of this snobbery. And I think I've mentioned this before. If Shanklin's name was Van der Shanklin, we'd go and pay £4, 5, 6 million for him. But because he's Scottish, we don't. I'm more than happy to go and pay Aberdeen £6 million for Bojan Miovski. This whole thing about we don't want to give Aberdeen the money, you're going to go and pay the same thing for a second-rate Dutch player who you don't know if it's going to work out. And I think we have to get past that. Go and get Miovski, get Conor Barron, get Shanklin, and start building this team back up with a good Scottish core, a local core at least.
Andy's well within his rights to call about whatever he wants, but I think there's something quite telling in that he's on the way up to the game. Look at that many thoughts about the game or even the next couple, but next season, is that the kind of feeling then for some Rangers fans?
Well, you know, I'll ask Andy directly. Have you actually given up, Andy, on the existence of miracles? You've ruled out the possibility entirely of a collapse on Celtic's part?
Hugh, do you know what? I would not put it past us winning 7-0 tonight and then losing in the last day of the season at half.
You've got it bad, Andy. I wish you well. But I think Andy makes a valid point about the local talent. You know, Conor Barron linked with a move to Serie A this morning, for example. And, you know, our good young men have all gone to Serie A. Arden Hickey found the time to come back again and go to the English Premier League. So I do think he's right. This stuff about don't give the rivals money. No. spend your money the best way you can to strengthen your team. And I think that applies to Celtic as well. You know, Celtic brought in David Turnbull, for example, Greg Taylor. You know, you have to be aware of what's around about you rather than what's in another country.
I suppose that is the difficulty, Andy. That stuff will all need to come. In the short term, what do you think the mood will be like tonight?
I mean, you're a lot closer to Glasgow than I am right this second. I'm just past Hamilton, but with the weather, I think you'll see even less fans in attendance. I think the crowd that we tested, I hear some rumours about walking out in the 55th minute, nonsense like that. Do you know what? We've still got a cup final to play against a Celtic team that we can see is there to be beaten, and some very basic tweaks need to be made to allow that to happen, including dropping some players like, for example, a John Lundstrom. I think it'll be a quieter crowd. I think if the team can go tonight and put in a performance, maybe get 2, 3, 4 goals, it lifts the crowd, if nothing else. And that's not to say we've got any chance whatsoever of winning this title. I fully expect Celtic will go and get their point probably tomorrow night at Kilmarnock. But yeah, I'm not expecting much. I'm coming up to see off some players. Half, you know, thank them for what they've done over the years, but half make sure some of them do leave, to be honest.
A ringing endorsement from Andy. Gordon, is that the stage it's at? All Rangers can do then is prolong this for as long as they can, whether that's to tomorrow or whether it's to the weekend. Do their bit, try and keep some semblance of, I was going to say feel good factor, but there isn't any at the moment. But you know what I mean. Try and build something towards that cup final. Is that all that's left?
Yeah,
nothing more.
No, I think you're right. I think the aim has got to be the next two games. You know, take a lot of positives out of leading into the cup final, because you could win the Scottish Cup and look back in the season and say, well, we won a double. But I wouldn't like to be in that pitch tonight, a Rangers player, if in the first 15, 20 minutes they don't start properly. I think the fans will certainly let them know, and I think they'll need a lot of big characters out there. So it's up to them to go out. I don't know what the team's going to be, obviously the big injury list. It's up to Rangers to go on the front foot, try and entertain the fans, try and get some goals, try and get a good feel factor tonight leading into the weekend, and then looking forward to the cup final.
A good feel factor sounds entirely different. I won't ask you to elaborate on what that is, because you could get us in bother by the sounds of it.
Feel good factor. I prefer it the other way around.
I bet you do.
Good feel.
Thanks to Andy, who's somewhere between. He must be level with Bothwell Services now, won't he? He'll just be making his way up. Anyway,
traffic's terrible, Andy.
Oh, isn't it, by the way?
Oh, it terrible,
took me forever
Andy.
To get in here. Thanks to Andy. What about James and Bayliston? Are you similar, James, in that you're going along tonight? What's the feeling heading along to this one?
I'm a wee bit further along the M74 than Andy, Gordon. I'm just passing Colmadie. Yes, my son and I's heading along tonight. Obvious disappointment after Saturday. I very much agree with a lot of what Andy said there. You know, we'd hold ourselves back into a title race. And the Ross County, Motherwell, Dundee games have essentially cost Rangers the title this season. I think if you asked fans of either of the big two, they would probably agree that we're not watching vintage Rangers and Celtic teams here. We're not watching the Loudrups, the Gascoignes, the Larsons, these types of guys. The standard, it's probably as poor with the big two as it's been for quite some time. But I think, you know, in terms of tonight's game, Rangers simply have to go and get 3 points. The league is gone, and I know that Hugh and Gordon there are saying, you know, there's still a mathematical chance, but realistically speaking, the league's gone, and I've accepted that, and Rangers fans have accepted that, but there is a cup final to play for. Mm-hmm. We're hoping to get one or two back, you know, before then. And I think Andy, again, the previous caller, hit the nail on the head. The amount of forward options, particularly that have been on the treatment table over the last weeks and months, you know, Sima, Cortez, Matondo, Danilo, obviously out for the season. You know, these guys would at least be in the squad for games, if not starting 11s. I think Sima's been a massive loss. I think terrific player, strong, athletic, got an eye for goal, and we've really, really missed him. And I'm just hoping that we can get the guy back in loan, or whether we're able to spend the money and trying to get him for Brighton, because I don't particularly see him getting a starting place with Brighton. I think they're flying, and he's not necessarily going to get into their 11, but I think up here, yeah, I think he's been a big, big player for us this season and a huge loss.
See, just to pick up on something, James, and we discussed this last night, see when you look at the numbers, I wonder if we all need to move away from this notion of Dundee and Ross County costing Rangers the title, because Celtic took 10 points in the head-to-heads. You know, if you look at the record, the respective records against all the other teams, I think Rangers had a better record than Celtic. So is it not really the harsh reality that, and I get you can spin it, but really it's the head-to-head record that cost Rangers this season?
Well, I mean, 1 point out of 12 is completely unacceptable against Celtic. And you look at the games as well, Gordon, you know, Celtic were coming to Ibrox a few seasons ago and beating Rangers 5-1 and, you know, 5-0 at Parkhead and all this kind of stuff. The games were all close in terms of, you know, the scores at the end of the games. There wasn't any hammerings. There wasn't any completely one-sided games. The games hinged on, you know, mistakes being made or chances being missed. So there was kind of slim margins in those games. And I take your point. Clearly, 1 point out of 12 is far from acceptable. But nevertheless, even before Saturday's game at Celtic Park, had Rangers beaten Ross County, Motherwell, Dundee, and with the greatest of respect, they should be winning those games.
But I'd make two points.
That is the point, Hugh, but that was the case before Saturday's game.
Yeah.
After Saturday's game, had Rangers beaten Dundee and Ross County, they'd still be 1 point behind Celtic.
I'd make several responses to James. First of all, the standard of Celtic and Rangers is actually neither here nor there. There have been years when Celtic or Rangers have won the title without being vintage Celtic or Rangers. Ronnie Dyla's Celtic won two titles but didn't thrill the fans, but they still got there in the end. As for the Dundee Dingwall sequence, Celtic lost consecutive matches to Hearts and Kilmarnock. They actually lost 6 points, even more than Rangers. And there's the difference. Celtic find a way after doing that, and Rangers don't. And with regard to...
And that way is to beat... The whole point. Head-to-head is so crucial.
And the head-to-head, James speaks of fine margins. Well, when one team always makes the most of the fine margins, the other team should be asking themselves why that is.
Well, here are the players who've been chosen to take the field for Rangers tonight and try and pull something back, or at least get some sort of positivity in the air. Gabriel, what's the team looking like?
Yeah, Gordon, five changes to the side that lost at Celtic Park. Philippe Clement changing half the outfielders. Of course, he cited the injury problems. Tom Lawrence, John Souter and Dujon Sterling all started at the weekend. They are out. Borna Barisic dropped to the bench, and of course, John Lundstrom is suspended. The five who come in are Leon King, Ridvan Yilmaz, Nico Raskin, Todd Cantwell and Ross McCausland. So the team looks like this. It's Jack Butland in goal, a defence of James Tavernier, Leon King, Ben Davis and Ridvan Yilmaz. It'd be Nico Raskin and Mohamed Diamande in midfield with Todd Cantwell just in front of them. Ross McCausland will play on the right wing. Fabio Silva keeps his place on the left, while Cyril Dessers leads the line. The substitutes, McCrory, Dowell, Wright, Roof, Barisic, Fecko, Fraser, Lowry and McKinnon. I just got the Dundee team as well, Gordon. Just two changes for Tony Doherty to the team that lost at Hearts 3 days ago. Donnelly and Mellon dropped to the bench. In come Silla and Tiffany. So it'll be John McCracken in goal, Jordan McGee, Ryan Astley, Juan Portales and Owen Dodgson in defence. Lyle Cameron, Malachi Boateng, Luke McCown and Mo Silla in midfield. Scott Tiffany and Bakayoko up top. Substitutes, Sharp, Main, Mulligan, Robertson, Howley, Donnelly, Mellon and Costello.
What do you make of that team news then? Let us know and we'll get you on next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Gordon DL are here. Usual number, usual Twitter at Clyde SSB if you want to get in touch. We just gave you team news from Ibrox. If you want to react to that, we are here for you. Don't discriminate against those of you who are just watching the game at home, but so many people phoning in on their way to the game, which I suppose is part of what these nights are all about. So Stephen is next up. What are you feeling like, Stephen? What type of occasion? What did the team need to try and achieve? What's the situation for you?
I think tonight, thanks for taking my call, guys. Good evening. I think tonight is it's just about getting out there and doing the job that's expected. I think the opportunities that we've wasted to put Celtic to the sword have kind of come and went, unfortunately. And the main problem I've got, and it was to get your opinion on it, was there's a kind of common theme that I've seen come through these Rangers teams, and these almost transcend a lot of managers, and you have to look at the common denominators. But Rangers seem to, time and time again, we try different things, and then we often run out of ideas, and the default mode is to go right back to this really predictable and pedestrian balls across the back, balls out wide, lump the ball into the box, and it never really comes to anything. We often struggle. We don't look like a team that can, like tonight, we need to go out there and really put 3, 4, 5, 6 goals past Dundee, but I don't get the impression that Rangers are going to start right on the front foot. You know, you think back to those games, the Dunfermline-Kilmarnock era, where both Celtic and Rangers went out and knew they had to score goals, and they started doing that. I just don't get the impression Rangers don't ever seem to start in top gear, and Clement's already said in many Celtic games we've not started strong enough. So if he's saying that to the players when they go out over that white line, who's saying, right boys, forget that, let's just go nice and softly and play the ball around the park? And as I say, this is something that I've noticed in teams before Clement, and you've got to look at those common denominators. And I don't know who perpetuates that mode, but and I know playing the ball out wide and getting the ball in the box is a good tactic. Other teams, better teams do it, but they do it in such a way that you've got maybe 3 versus 3 or space for your strikers to move into, and you've got good crossers in to pick the man out. We do it so slowly that it's almost 10 versus 3 because we allow the opposition all the time to get back into the box, and you're infinitely lose your advantage at that point. And it's easy for, I mean, I could probably take a good Scottish squad and say, right guys, just push 2 or 3 up to hassle the guys at the back, but as soon as you lose the ball, just get 2 banks of 5 on the 18-yard line, let Rangers come wide, cross the ball in, and we'll take our chances when it's in the air.
It's interesting that, Stephen, I was going to just put the style point to Gordon. Well, first of all, the start of the game is clearly Rangers not only haven't beaten Celtic, they've not led at any point, not scored the first goal, got noses in front, or haven't scored the first goal, sorry. The style is now coming into a bit of scrutiny, isn't it, from fans and people watching. It seemed like a lot of long balls again at the weekend, try to get it forward. And I don't know if that because Philippe Clement's just doing what he can with the players he gets, and then next year if he signs loads, the style will change completely. Feels like the Rangers fans are maybe not too sure about that at the moment.
Well, if I was a Rangers fan, I would accept what's happening just now, because I think Clement obviously has to get to a summer transfer window, clear out a lot of players which the Rangers fans want, bring in his own players. But I'd be disappointed if he went with the same style, Gordon. You're right, at the weekend there, it was a lot of long balls. It was trying to pick up the second balls. When he's got decent players round about the middle of the park, I look at Rangers, and since Clement's come in, he got a tune out of them at the beginning, and he done terrifically well with them. Then it's sort of it's fallen away. You look at Celtic are far a better football side than the Rangers just now. I thought he would have tweaked the style of it. I look at that team tonight, it's going to be the exact same. I know that Stephen's talking about, you know, we'd love to go out there and get a 5-6. I don't see that in Rangers. I don't think
anyone does. You have to leave the possibility open. They went to Dens earlier in the season and won 5-0. It's possible, but I think, most people.
Stephen's talking about the day that Celtic played in Kilmarnock and Rangers beat Dunfermline, taking 6 goals off them. That was literally the last day of the season. The title was there to be won by one or other team. But there's an entirely different mindset tonight, because the Rangers fans have been plunged into despair because of what happened at Celtic Park. And they are 6 points behind, and they are 7 goals worse off, and they do have this horrendous injury list, which brings about the formation of the team that's been chosen tonight. So it's an entirely different prospect, but you have to go on. You have to believe that you can put Celtic under some kind of pressure, even though I wouldn't put Gordon DL's money on that. That's what they have to try to do tonight, and they're playing a Dundee side who have won 10 games all season, who now have, while being in the top six, fewer points than three teams who are in the bottom six. So a victory has to be on for Rangers, and they just have to keep going and rely on Celtic not being able to do what they want to do against Kilmarnock on that pitch tomorrow night.
Stephen, one of the previous callers said this was an opportunity to almost see off some players tonight, go to Ibrox and say goodbye to some that he hopes wouldn't be there in the future. Is that a part of it tonight, or is that a bit extreme? Yeah.
It's maybe putting it a bit harshly. I mean, in my mind, there are common denominators. There's, you know, Gordon's favourite. I'm not Tab's biggest fan from his defensive duties point of view, but yeah, there are some players that I think perpetuate this style of play that does creep in. As I said, Clement came in and said early on, I don't want to see backwards passes, sideways passes, and for a short time, as Hugh said there as well, you know, that there was times when there was a variety. You know, we were playing balls into channels, we were going wide, and then we were changing it up, but that just drifted away, and then all of a sudden we're back to this really slow and, as I said, pedestrian, and it's very predictable. Teams can then come at us, like Ross County and Dundee, you know, all respect to them. Rangers should be, the Rangers players should be a much higher skill set where they can get the ball at their feet and say, right, we're going to play around you. But the minute you just start popping the ball up in the air, you take all that advantage away, and Dundee and Ross County beat us with sheer determination and sheer grit and desire to get on the end of balls and hassle Rangers players, and we couldn't handle that. You know, the Rangers players just didn't know what to do with that. So you can't be bullied like that at Rangers. You're always going to be the team that's expected to go out there and do something. And if you can't live up to that expectation, I think it is time for some of these players to step aside and let Clement. And as I say, it's transcended managers. So these guys are perpetuating this style of play.
I think there's a lot of players in the category, Gordon, that when the pressure's off a little bit, they step up. When it's needed, like say at the weekend, they don't seem to be there. And I think the Rangers fans don't like that. I think that you're brought up at Rangers with big characters and you've got to step up and face the challenge head on. Rangers, instead of going toe-to-toe with Celtic and saying, right, we'll play football, you play football, we've got good players, let's go and see who won. Clement changed the tactics and decided we're not going to play through the zones like Celtic
do. No, but that's been the way Rangers have played mostly.
But surely...
They didn't change it just for this game. They go direct very quickly in every game.
But there's going direct and there's just going for, like say, you know, hopeless balls up the front and hoping that Dessers is going to win his battles, which he doesn't. And I feel for him because I would hate to play in this Rangers team just now because all you're doing is chasing as a centre-forward and trying to win battles against centre-backs. I think Rangers should be better than that. I think that's why I'm saying if Clement gets to his transfer window, I'm expecting him to bring in football players that are going to dominate the ball like Celtic. You look at Celtic, everybody talks about their midfield three, how good they are, how good they are in the ball. They've got pace in the wide areas. They've got a guy that can score goals, plays on the shoulder. I'm expecting that next year from Rangers. I know it's a bit late just now, but you've still got two important games to go because they've got Celtic again. And it's going to be another massive game.
Yeah, interesting team tonight. Rangers got a number of injuries forced into quite a bit. Leon King is an example, first league start of the season. I think he's got, give or take, some additional time, about 10, 15 minutes of league action this season. We're nearly done.
Yeah, but there's just nobody left.
Yeah, true, especially in that area of the pitch. Let's bring in Gareth, who's a bit further afield in Carlisle. How are you, Gareth?
I'm okay, Gordon. Parlo, you okay?
Yeah, good. What are you thinking?
There's a lot of talk about, obviously, Clement can't beat Celtic and everything. Well, at the end of the day, if Clement goes out and Rangers goes out and wins the Scottish Cup for the fans and for the manager, then surely what's happened in the league, that'll not be even talked about because we've won the Scottish Cup and he's beaten Celtic.
Well, you're a long way away in Carlisle, but you're a million miles away from reality by saying that, Gareth, because with the winning of the league title comes the Champions League. With the Champions League comes millions of pounds, tens of millions of pounds. Therefore, it will be talked about all summer long because Celtic will have the tens of millions of pounds on top of tens of millions of pounds they already have. And when you come to recruitment, that's a big start. Now, I understand Celtic need every bit as many players as Rangers do, and they have some dead wood to get rid of, accumulated over the last two transfer windows. But the league means money, and the Champions League, it's bigger than the Cup.
I'll be kinder, Gareth. I loosely get the logic, and I think, you know, there are degrees of success and failure. It's not black and white. One trophy is better than none, and two is better than one. But the league's just the be all and end all, isn't it? To go as far as to go as far as to say that people won't talk about the league failures if Rangers win a cup double, I don't know if that will be the case, will it?
I think maybe they will still talk about it, but I don't, like, if we win the Scottish Cup, obviously we're getting the double, but I do think they will still talk about it. I just don't think it'll be talked about as much.
You'll get a good night out.
What you're saying, though, I do understand what he's saying.
You'll get a good night out if you win the Scottish Cup.
And you've got, like I said, Gordon, look, success, that you get degrees of it. It's not one or the other. If Rangers win a cup double, then I think Gareth's right. It can't be a disastrous season if you win two trophies. It can't be an embarrassing season or some of these words that you would maybe associate. It's still here. You're just judged on winning the league. Is just the way it is.
100%. It's all about the league. Look, St Johnstone won a cup double. You know, nobody bothers their backside about them now. I think it's so I think it's so important, the Scottish Cup, because it's Celtic.
Symbolism of it.
Yeah, 100%. And it is for the manager as well, because look at what happens if you're a player and you can't score against Celtic, you get tagged with that. If you're a manager and you can't win against Celtic, it'll eat away with you. It gets tagged at that, and people start talking and start bringing it up. So the Scottish Cup, as much as the league is, without doubt, the biggest one, for Rangers and Clermont and the supporters, getting that Scottish Cup is so, so vital now for them. And there's a lot of pressure on them to do it.
I think for Philippe Clermont, there is a massive credibility issue around the cup final. He cannot lose another game to Celtic.
And I get that, but at the same time, given what's now gone, the Rangers not going to that even further away. What's the phrase I'm looking for? As even bigger underdogs now, because if you've not won in four, surely the fifth becomes even harder, not?
But the fans tend not to see it.
Expectations
that way.
At an all-time low.
But come the final whistle on the 25th of May, if they've lost to Celtic again, the fans won't see it that way.
I suppose. I do get that as well. Thank you very much to Gareth. Right, come on, educate me. Hugh Keevans is always saying people from my part of the footballing world don't have the rivalry in our blood. So educate me, you Celtic fans. How do you feel about tonight? Would you rather, dare I say it, would you rather Rangers won? And that means you can go and wrap it up by getting something tomorrow. Or does it matter? Would you rather watch Rangers perhaps suffer another disappointment tonight? Maybe you don't care. Maybe you don't care at all, and you just take whatever you can get. But I wonder what you Celtic fans feel about how it's won and when it's won, and whether that matters at all. Pick up the phone right now. We'll get you on next after I tell you about this.
Clyde One Live, celebrating the first 50 years.
Not many tickets left now for Clyde One Live, and it's getting closer, isn't it? Friday the 31st of May, we're taking over the Oval Hydro, and we do want you to be there. I genuinely have had like Instagram messages and stuff from people saying, are you lot going to be there? I mean, they're interested in Amy McDonald, Tom Walker, Callum Beattie, Emily Sandy in Texas. Why wouldn't you be? I think some folk are hoping to get a wee selfie.
With you?
Autograph from Hugh. A look at the Nokia, Mark. Whatever it may be.
Or the big names.
Anyway, you can buy your tickets right now at Clyde1.com. 0141 951 1025.
This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
45 minutes until kickoff at Ibrox. I'm forgetting about the slightly earlier kickoff time. I don't even know if we've mentioned it. What a Tuesday night treat we've got. Did you know Hugh Keevans and Gordon Dalziel are going nowhere at 8 o'clock? We've extended the show until 10. We'll do the same tomorrow. We always had this week earmarked as a potentially decisive week in the title race. And of course, it could play out a couple of different ways. It could be that Celtic win the title tonight. It could be that they win it tomorrow. It could be that it rolls on till the weekend. So we're on until 10 tonight, right through the game, taking your calls and the same again tomorrow. With that in mind then, I asked before the break and you delivered. Charlie is a Celtic fan. Would you rather Rangers drop points and you win it tonight, Charlie? You win it yourself tomorrow, or you couldn't care less? What are your feelings?
Oh no, I want Rangers to drop me a point. I want to rub it right in.
Because, I thought you might.
You know something? See, before every Old Firm game this season, is we're going to do this, we're going to do that. But Celtic have always come out on top, apart from the 3-each draw. But now I've had confidence in Celtic all season. I mean, before the 3-each game, I was on the phone and I said, I'm not worried about it. And I wasn't. But see, for them to drop me a point and us to win the league tonight, that's just going to be the cherry in the cake for Celtic fans.
Like, that's rivalry, and I, yeah. Who am I to tell anyone to feel any differently? I think some fans in this city enjoy the other side's pain as much as they enjoy their own joy, which is fine, you know, each to their own. I wonder if do you think the players care? I mean, as a Celtic player, do you think you'd rather go out tomorrow and score a goal that wins that game, that wins the, or does it really not matter?
I don't think so. And if I was in the Celtic camp, I would be desperate for Dundee to beat Rangers tonight. I'd be desperate for them to lose at the weekend, getting into that cup final.
Fair enough, yeah, I hadn't thought about it that way.
So I think that, look, it's just a matter of when they will officially clinch the title, whether it's tomorrow night or tonight. I don't fancy it to be tonight. I look at that Rangers team, I think there's a possibility they could concede, but I think they're still strong enough to go and win the game. So I'll be up to Celtic, I think, to go to Rugby Park, and it's well highlighted how difficult that's been for them. But I just think they're in a different place now. Going down there, if Rangers win tonight, knowing that anything gets them the champions, I think Celtic will be right up for it. As much as Kilmarnock have had a fantastic season, you can't take in away from them, I just think Celtic will finish in style.
In the city where the bragging rights means everything, Charlie can't wait to go into his work tomorrow. If Dundee have taken anything off Rangers, and he'll pick out every Rangers fan that he works with, and they will get it tight from Charlie, guaranteed.
Now let's hear from Brendan Rodgers. Is he going to be watching the game at Ibrox tonight closely? Let's find out.
Not really, no. I'll watch Tottenham Man City. And obviously once we have finished our work here, and yeah, I'll watch probably that game, and I think our only focus is on ourselves, so our only focus is preparing for the game tomorrow, and out with that, we can't control anything else. For me, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. It's obviously, some people prefer to win it there, and then you have the celebration. For me, it's just about collating the points over the season, and then when it's mathematically rubber stamped, then you take that.
Well, I think Brendan Rodgers, he's picking out Ange Postecoglou's team against Pep Guardiola's, and it's a big, big match. I don't think he's being derogatory towards Scottish football. I think he's just saying, nah, you know, I can't influence what will happen at Ibrox, therefore I'll watch Postecoglou versus Guardiola. You know, when Celtic play Rangers at Ibrox the last time, the 3-3 game, 1.4 million, the TV audience. We've yet to find out how many watched last Saturday's match, but I would guarantee it would be more than 1.4 million. Therefore,
don't make guarantees that you can't keep. I've told you this before.
No, I'm sure the
sun was out.
People higher.
Maybe were away,
but it means that in England people are watching our game rather than their own because they're fascinated by this rivalry. So the fact that he's said he'll watch Tottenham is not.
They won't be watching it more than their own, I'm sure. But he'll be switching over at some point, will he not?
Well, by the time he gets home,
one of those things.
Time he gets home, and has his dinner, fires up the computer at 7:30. I don't know.
Get the first 15 minutes or whatever is it? Look, what time does Man City kick off? Is it 8? Is it 7:45?
He'll just keep his Nokia by his side, and it will light up, and it will say John Kennedy.
Surely
John Kennedy will tell him the score.
Surely a man of Brendan Rodgers stats has got the TV
split screen.
Come on.
Well, of course.
Come on.
I just thought it was one of. I know he's kind of steeped in English football, but the kind of message that clubs always get, you know, we focus on ourselves, which I get, but then usually once they retire, they admit, ah, of course we always, of course we read the newspapers, of course we looked at what everyone else was doing.
I think he'll be watching part of the game. Yeah, I think you can flick between. He's in a comfortable position. He can watch whatever he wants because he knows tomorrow night he can go down, win the league, or he'll get a text tonight saying,
just finish Baby Reindeer if he's not done that.
Listen, I'm telling you now, I would switch the TV off and go to the computer and watch that.
Don't want to take it too far. I don't want Brendan Rodgers' neighbours to try and peer in and double check what he's watching. Thank you to Charlie on the line. Paul is also on that theme. Paul, again, does it matter tonight, tomorrow? Do you care?
I think it would be really good if it was tonight. Anything that can dent their confidence or whatever ahead of the Glasgow Cup final, I'd be very happy with. But at the end of the day, we won it. Basically, we beat Rangers three times. They weren't able to beat us any times at all. So the league was already won before tonight's fixtures and before tomorrow night's fixtures. So it's in the bag, and Flag Day on Saturday.
I think when Brendan Rodgers spoke after the game against Rangers, and he got off his chest a few things that he wanted to get off his chest, about people accusing him of going through the motions and being a novice and everything else that he mentioned. I think Brendan Rodgers then had that look in his eye which said, what happens to Rangers on Tuesday is of no relevance to me. I want Celtic to go to Kilmarnock and win. And then I want the title party at Celtic Park on Saturday and beat St Mirren and roll over into the cup final.
He wanted to sprint over the line, yeah, I think he said.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you know, we players, media, managers are forever being pulled up over what we said. It would look foolish if we said, what, to sprint over the line and then lose at Kilmarnock straight away. So I think he's of that mindset. He wants three wins in a row. Kilmarnock, St Mirren, Rangers.
So you're in tune with the Celtic fans. I think it was you that offered the theory, Paul, there, saying, actually, yeah, keep this Rangers crisis, and I use the, I mean the Glasgow crisis, keep it going, because then they'll be in an even worse place come the cup final. So win it tonight and
100%
from
because
there.
It's not anything to do with, you know, the fans demand so much in these clubs. And as a player, you see it. You've got to stand up and be counted. And then if you get into that game and you've dropped more points against, you know, Dundee tonight, or Hearts at the weekend, which will be a difficult game. And then you get into Celtic, which you've not beaten, and that's your biggest game, cup final. Listen, if I'm a Celtic fan, I'm hoping that Rangers have a bad night tonight and a bad weekend.
I suppose it would then be party time from the off tomorrow at Rugby Park anyway.
Yeah.
Then, wouldn't it? And
I think it's tomorrow night's important for Celtic, do you know that? Because I think everybody looked at that fixture post-split.
This could be the one that costs Celtic, sort of thing.
Everybody highlighted that, you know, if they say that, well, Celtic won't slip up there. I was at the last game and I've got to say I thought Celtic were dreadful, but all credit to Kilmarnock, especially second half. Derek McInnes tweaked a few things, caused them all sorts of problems. So I think they've got a score to settle tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm sure I saw pictures of Celtic training on their Astro today as well at Lennox Town. I could be wrong to get used to it. Shannon's on Twitter. Either way, I could not care as long as the league trophy gets lifted by Calmac on the 18th, says Shannon. Let's try and give away some prizes of our own.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. Let's do it. 01419511025. Your chance to win a signed ball, but only if you can get past the formidable Gordon DL or Hugh Keevans. Almost said that with a straight face. The lines close at 7, and you have to get your calls in to play Beat the Pundit next.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Hugh Keevans are here. It's 01419511025. You can tweet us at Clyde SSB. Okay, get your calls over because we're building up to kickoff as well at Ibrox, under half an hour away. Let's bring in, in fact, tell you what we'll do. I'm losing my train of thought there. Something just distracted me. I'm forgetting we've got important business to take care of first. So let's play.
Beat
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Before we do anything else, of course, John is on the line. How's it going, John?
Yeah, it's good, mate. How you doing?
Not bad. You're from Ayr, is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Is the town recovered from the late 90s, early 2000s when Gordon DL was around?
Yeah, he done well. He did all right.
Thank you, John. Save a lot of money going up to the Hampden games, eh?
Did all right, he said. John just said you did all
right.
I don't care
about the football achievements. I've heard all that before. I'm just wondering how the local...
Oh, the town?
The local town has recovered.
The clubs are taking a hit.
Oh, exactly. A lot of nightclubs closed down, let me tell you.
What was your haunt in here?
Club de Mar. Oh, I loved
Club
it.
De Mar, yeah.
Is that...
Wednesday night, Johnny.
Oh, aye, good night.
Oh, bingo, and then down to the Club de Mar. Can't be it.
It's funny, you've changed. Wednesday's now Bath night.
Not
until,
Monday.
Of course, it's the summer and you
summer,
go to Monday. Yeah. How dare I forget? Anyway, if it's heads, it will be Hugh Keevans. If it's tails, it'll be an all Ayrshire clash between John and Gordon. And it is as well, tails. So, John against Gordon, what we'll do is give the Dazzler some greatest hits radio to listen to so that he can't hear what's going on. And we'll get the clock ready. John, it's so straightforward. Just answer as many as you can. If you want to pass and move on, that is fine by me, okay?
Perfect, thanks.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Who's Hibs caretaker manager after Nick Montgomery's sacking?
David Gray.
Name any Rangers player who scored exactly once this season.
Goldson.
Who was the only Scottish player to feature in Aston Villa against Liverpool last night?
McGinn.
In what decade did Ali McCoist retire?
2000s.
Which current Celtic player used to play for Kilmarnock?
Greg Taylor.
How many non-Scottish managers have taken charge of the men's national team?
One.
How many full-time managers have Hibs had since 2021?
Five.
Okay, let's bring them back. Gordon DL, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can. Who are we blaming it on, Hugh?
The boogie.
We're blaming it on the boogie.
Jeez. 30 seconds on the clock. You ready?
Yeah.
Your time starts now. Who will the Hibs caretaker manager be following Nick Montgomery's sacking?
David Gray.
Name any Rangers player who scored exactly once this season.
Goldson.
Who was the only Scottish player to feature in Aston Villa against Liverpool last night?
John McGinn.
In what decade did Ali McCoist retire?
90s.
Which current Celtic player used to play for Kilmarnock?
Taylor.
How many non-Scottish managers have taken charge of the men's national team?
Two.
Okay. What do you think, John?
It's got to be close.
Yeah, well, I hope John goes, see if John wins, could tell everybody in Ayr what he did to you.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I think so. Hibs caretaker manager David Gray, you both got it, 1-1. The Rangers players who've scored exactly once. Quite a tough question that. None of you got it right. You had Dujon Sterling, Oscar Cortez, Nicholas Raskin, Scott Wright and Ben Davies. So none of you got it. 1-1. The only Scottish player to feature in Villa against Liverpool was John McGinn. Andy Robertson was absent. So well done, you both got that right. In what decade did Ali McCoist retire? It was the 2000s, Gordon DL. 2001.
No, 90s.
2001, Kilmarnock.
Oh, I forgot Kilmarnock. Did John get that?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, no.
So John goes one in front. You both got Greg Taylor. So John stays one in front. And it's one non-Scottish manager to take charge of the men's national team, Bertie Vokes. You got that, John, didn't you?
Yep.
That sounds like two
that.
Up to me.
I'm running out of questions.
Exactly. John had the chance to go three up, but how many full time managers have Hibs had since 2021?
Four.
It's four, but you didn't get that far. John said five. And this makes me feel a whole lot better, right? Because somebody was going to get in touch and was going to say that John maybe sort of started saying 90s before he said 2000s.
Oh.
It was a close thing, but he beat you by two anyway.
Yeah.
So my conscience is clear. I can sleep easy tonight. What do you mean you don't know? You didn't even hear it.
I'm going to check my coach. I'm sure it was 90s.
I was going to try and say 2000. Like, I meant like 2000 or like, you know what I mean?
John, you don't need to justify yourself because you beat him by two or one. So you beat him anyway. And the sign ball, I'll get the former mayor of Ayr himself to hand deliver it. Well done to you.
Cheers.
Well done, John.
Okay, man, there we go. Mate. Struggling. That you, even with a victory,
I'm not even bothered with that.
Even with a victory tonight, a victory wouldn't have been enough to lift you off second bottom. You lost anyway.
Well, but the amount of games I've played is ridiculous. I'm taking cramp after 20 seconds of being the pundit now.
That was poor for me.
Many games have I played there? Go on, have a look.
Remember. I don't actually have that.
104.
20-something.
20-something, no chance.
Oh, no, 35.
35 games. That is ridiculous.
You're on twice a week and the coin tends to land tails. Yeah, I don't know what you want me to say.
I wish I could go to the casino and the coin lands like that. I wouldn't be on once a week, never mind twice.
Well, it's another defeat for you, I know that much. Poor performance, disappointed in you there.
Three was no bad. I should have got just Bertie Volz, but I thought it was a trick question. I thought somebody else would have popped up there I forgot about years and years ago. I don't know, was my coin in the 2000s?
Yes.
Sure. Yeah.
Dionne Warwick took longer than this to get the,
By the way, what are you talking about? Dionne Warwick got a standing ovation.
How do you know?
Because I read it today, I was thinking about you.
I think maybe you left too early. I think like you're like that football fan who leaves it 2-0 down and they win 3-2.
She got a standing ovation when she came on.
Why did you, she couldn't have been that bad here?
No. She wasn't singing enough. She was speaking a lot in between and doing interviews.
Did she sing Heartbreaker? Why do you have to be a heartbreaker?
That's enough.
The Rangers porter tapped me on the shoulder coming out of the Royal Concert Hall and he said, I like my music shows to have music.
See, he wasn't alone.
That was a wee bit rude here. I've got to say,
the world's rudest man. People in glass houses and all that. 01419511025. We're building up to kick off at Ibrox. It's not too far away, 20 minutes away. And we're here until 10 tonight as well. So keep the calls coming because it could be a long old evening if there's not much happening at Ibrox. But hopefully, we get an exciting game to keep us entertained. Scott is a Rangers fan. That's a lot of changes tonight, Scott. But I suppose they were forced. What are you thinking?
Honest, there were four changes. We've got a lot of injuries. Obviously, John Sutter. I'm one of John Sutter's biggest fans. I love John Sutter to bits. Obviously, not having him in the squad tonight is a big loss, but I just want to make a point about Leon King. Leon King came in at the tail end of last season. He proved himself. And, come on, proceeded to pick Goldson over Leon King. I get it, Goldson's got the experience, but when you look at the stats when Goldson played for Rangers, Rangers tend to concede one and two goals. We took Goldson out the team with a good run of spell, obviously, when he was taken out. But I just don't understand why Clement's left it so late to give Leon King his second chance.
One of the features of...
what do you think?
Don't know if it's going to be a feature of next season, maybe, if he's already starting to look ahead. Obviously, we've got a few farewells, I would say, tonight as well. Definitely, Borna Barisic. I would happily see the back of Borna Barisic, to be honest. The fact that he played on Sunday, when I seen the team, I was actually disappointed. And then James Forrest, to be honest, just turned him every time. 10 times in the trot, he turned him. Same like drop the shoulder, wee injection of pace, and Barisic's on his heels.
Yeah, what do you think?
One of the features of recent weeks has been the Rangers fans picking holes in what Philippe Clement does. You know, Leon King, I don't doubt, fine player for the future, but, you know, when Philippe Clement came in, the Viaplay Cup was won. They embarked on this league run that spooked Celtic for a while. No one mentioned Leon King's name. You know, it's only now that the league has gone that Philippe Clement is being criticised in one way or another, and I think Leon King comes under that category.
You do wonder, though, what the future does hold, Gordon. I don't know if we could go as far as Scott. Leon King was never coming in and taking Conor Goldson's place this season. That was just never happening. Circumstances change, people get signed, injuries at different times, etc., etc. But if you're Leon King, you played 23 times last season. This season, you've got 4 appearances. You came on in the 85th, 86th, 86th and 89th minute. That is your lot. And then obviously a start tonight.
It's not a good sign.
Kind of make or break type. Defenders can blossom a bit later. He is only 20.
Yeah, he's a young lad. We've seen that situation last year with Celtic with Scales. Everybody thought he was leaving, going to Aberdeen, had to stay at Celtic, and was a success story this season. That would need to happen for Leon King. I think he's down the pecking order. He's still young. He's only in tonight because of the amount of injuries that Rangers have got in that position. But it's up to him to go and show the manager exactly what he can do. He's got a start now. It's very difficult coming on. You mentioned those times, Gordon, 80-plus, try to go on and try to impress. It just doesn't happen. It can't happen. So it's a big night for a boy to come on and just show the manager what he's all about. Going forward, I think he's a decent player. Going forward, I don't think he's going to be number one choice next year. I think Rangers will address the situation. I think it'll be a big clear out, and I think there'll be better quality brought in.
Scott, what can be, I mean, what is the aim? Is it just about winning tonight, take it on, make it as uncomfortable as it can for Celtic? Is that all that's left? What's your feeling heading into this game tonight?
I think the idea for Rangers tonight is go out. I hate to say it, but see the season out, I think, to be honest. I was listening earlier on, I was on and off. I was Clermont winning the Scottish Cup. Before this Old Firm, we could have been treble winners if we had won the Old Firm, effectively. But you look back at the head-to-heads for the season, dropping points to Dundee, dropping points to St Johnstone and Motherwell, Celtic are much better themselves. To be honest, the league's won and lost in the away games. When you're going to Dens Park and the game's getting called off three times, and then it's eventually getting played and you're getting beat, do you know what I mean? It's no ideal. The league's won and lost in the away games. But another point I want to make about tonight is, where's McCausland? He came on at Parkhead.
No, he's starting tonight. He's starting tonight. You're all right.
How's he start?
Yeah, he's in from the start tonight.
That young boy is. To be honest, I hope Rangers don't make the same mistake of what made in previous seasons when it comes to your Billy Gilmers, your Calvin Bassies, and he goes somewhere in the summer.
Would you put him in that? Honest. Would you put him in that bracket, Scott? Have we seen enough to rate him that highly?
The young man's got potential, do you know what I mean? He's like 20, 21 year old. He's got potential. Ranger, I don't think I'm the only Rangers fan that can see his potential. He comes in, he plays the wing, he cuts in, but he's definitely got the potential there. 110%, I would put him in the same bracket.
I think Billy Gilmer had a Champions League medal by the time he was 21. So I wouldn't put him in the same bracket or anything like it as Billy Gilmer. I think the Rangers fans are now, you know, Scott's touched upon a variety of points about Dens Park and losing to Motherwell. You know, Rangers ought to have done better at Dens Park when the game finally got on. They were on the rebound from a defeat at Dingwall, the one and only time in their history that Ross County had beaten Rangers. And then Rangers compounded the felony by going to Dens Park 4 days later and dropping more points. So along the way, they have been guilty of being the architects of their own downfall.
Thank you very much to Scott in Paisley, 01419511025. Omar is a Rangers fan. He's in Bologna at the moment. How's it going, Omar?
Hi, guys. Yeah, really good, thanks.
What are you expecting tonight? You liking the look of that team? I know it was kind of forced, but is there things to get you interested?
Yeah, I mean, it's good to see Barisic out the team, to be honest, in a personal opinion, because I think he's cost us a lot in games, being switched off, and kind of I've been observing him, and I think he's just been totally checked out, and I think some of the goals from the weekend were due to his fault. So I'm really glad, and I really don't want to see him back in the Rangers top, as well as Lindstrom.
This is breaking your heart, Gordon. You stuck up for him for a long time, and he's been obviously, for what he cost and the service he's given over the piece, it would be a good contribution. It's not ending in a particularly positive way in the eyes of the Rangers fans. I don't think there'll be tears shed on their part tonight.
Not at all. I think all credit as well goes to Yilmaz. I think he's come in and really made that spot his own. I go back to the you know, months and years ago when Barisic came into the building. I thought Barisic has served Rangers well, Gordon. You're right, it's not ended well. Because some of the Rangers fans, like tonight, you hear Omar saying, well, don't want to see him in the Rangers trip again. There's a few in that bracket, you know, people are saying about Lundstrom as well. You know, they're wanting rid of guys like Goldson, Tavernier. They just want a freshness, they want a change. I can take that on board. But I think you've got to give Barisic a bit of credit. I think he's been a decent signing for Rangers, a good player. I think where his Achilles heel was, he seemed to, when he made his big mistakes, it was always against Celtic, and Abada seemed to have his number in the big games, and I think he was always held responsible for that. But as a servant to Rangers, I think he's done a reasonable job.
Omar, I feel like we get a lot of tweets, have done in recent weeks, from Rangers fans who really wanted to see a midfield trio of Raskin, Diomande and Cantwell, and for a number of reasons maybe they've got their wish tonight. Could that be something going forward?
Yeah, and I think when going back, Raskin and Cantwell had the opportunity to play together, it wasn't enough, but I think it's been better than what recently has been shown. But I guess hindsight's a wonderful thing. But I think, you know, just not putting Wright on as well. At the weekend, I think Cantwell should have been on instead of Wright. I know Clement said it wasn't the kind of game for Cantwell, but you know, you might as well went all out on attack, and I know he's an attacking player, but I think tonight we've got the three there. It will definitely show us what can be done with these three, and maybe some food for thought for the future and perhaps for the cup final.
Yeah, it's a fair point. We'll see if that is something going forward, Gordon. We get lots of tweets in this, again, especially in recent weeks, from Rangers fans, sort of, where is Raskin? Why is he not featuring a bit more? We always have to defer to that logic about the manager sees him every day in training and so on. But the contribution this season, whether it's his fault or whether the manager hasn't picked him enough or whatever, has been way below what most Rangers fans thought it would be this season.
Yeah, because I think when Raskin came into the building, everybody was delighted with the signing. Him and Cantwell at the same time. You look at the biggest game of the season, at the weekend, none of them featured. Cantwell didn't even get on the pitch, which surprised me. I don't understand that comment from the Rangers manager. Well, it wasn't a game for him. I don't grasp that. Raskin has got to prove that he's good enough now for Clement. I think Clement's sort of threw him a challenge to say, look, I wasn't picking you week in, week out. You're second choice in the middle of the park. It's up to you now, and it starts tonight. I think he's got to go out and get a big performance. I like him. I think he's a good player. But he's a lot to prove, and especially the Rangers manager.
Thank you, Omar. Thank you for your time. Oh, I'm partly looking forward to this next call, partly worried.
Oh.
Why are you looking at me?
We've got a newly married woman on the phone.
Does she want a bit of advice?
A newly married woman who's heartbroken. Should have been the happiest week of her life.
Are you talking about Shaz?
It's Sharon.
Shaz!
You promised you would go to Sharon's wedding on Saturday.
You have no idea. Yeah. Right, Shaz, without a word of light, see the amount of people that go out and touch me through Instagram, go, were you at Shaz's wedding? And I was honestly going to come up to your wedding.
Don't lie, that just makes it worse.
No, no, on my life, but I didn't want to ruin your big life day. On it.
So for anyone who missed the backstory, Sharon was getting married on Saturday. Quite a big day for football. Sharon was a Rangers fan, was going to miss the game. Did it all go well, apart from the result, Sharon?
It went amazing. Yeah, I don't know what I was. Actually, I think I was more disappointed that that Gordon didn't make it.
I'm raging at that. Shaz, I was sitting in the house crying, lonely. You know what I mean? Thinking, do I go or do I not? And I didn't want to walk in there and you go, what are you doing here?
Sharon told you that you were welcome.
Oh,
exactly.
Sharon, don't listen. Do you know what it was?
I said a few vodkas.
I didn't want to buy a present.
I should get a signed ball.
Sharon's chancing a lot.
Shaz, I'll come to your next one.
Don't say that. Sharon, how did you? So when did you hear the news that your team had lost the game and potentially the league?
I didn't even actually watch the game. It must have been when I was in the car going down to Deer Park. So this was round about 10 to 2 or 2 o'clock. and I was like, what's the result? And all of a sudden, well, I was like, what's the score? And they're like, 2-1 to Celtic, and we're down to 10 men. I went, so yeah, I wasn't a wee bit lazy-like at that point, but anyway, so...
A few choice words.
Yes, it wasn't very nice. Brilliant. But anyway... But,
well, listen, I'll hold him accountable. I'll try and get somebody to send a sign ball would be fair, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I'll, to make up I'll for deliver you. It to, so, to your house,
I'll
Sharon.
Tell you what, Sharon, you'll need to forget about him, as most people do, and get focused, because the next game, there's always a game round the corner. It's about to kick off, and we will go back to Ibrox next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now.